Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I can't really say what I want to say to open the show today. I, despite what Dave Rickard said the other day, what I want to say probably would get us fined and maybe lose our license. Welcome in, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. If you're just tuning in right now and you haven't been on social media, it looks like Rookie Watch is over, at least for the San Diego Padres. And we will explain in a moment. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
How are you?
I'm fantastic, buddy. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Hello, Benjamin.
Yeah, good morning. Usually Friday is the time for joy and happiness when we get our show started, but feeling a pall hanging over this room.
A
and
a pall. A cast a pall.
A cast a pall. A pall.
Yeah, like a pall.
Dark cloud
yeah,
hanging
Paul.
Over.
You
our,
know, Paul.
Paul, not you, Paul.
Oh. P-A-L-L. You couldn't have a funnier, better show planned than we have planned. I was giddy about 12 minutes ago. Giddy. I got material for days that was making me laugh so hard.
We'll need save it because we'll need to get to it at some point to lighten the mood.
Makes now, me just want to go la 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 la.
Yeah, yeah,
la,
yeah. La, 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 I didn't see anything.
Let me say that nothing has been officially announced from Roki Sasaki, his team, or any of the finalists involved. But as we have been telling you throughout this entire process, there are signs that you're going to be able to look for that should indicate with a fairly high degree of certainty which teams he is not going to. And the biggest one of those signs would be going ahead and spending your international bonus pool money on other people.
Yeah.
Because you know that, you know, Rookie Sasaki will not be signing with your team. And just in the last 10 minutes, there's been multiple reports and, you know, that the Padres are now pivoting today from Francis Romero, who we talked about earlier in this week, covers Caribbean prospects internationally, a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, tweeted, hearing from multiple sources, the Padres are out in Rookie Sasaki. They'll begin their international signings of Juan de la Cruz and Carlos Alvarez in the next few hours. He says another big guy probably going to sign tomorrow. Will Salmon from The Athletic echoing the same thing. International news, left-handed pitcher Carlos Alvarez will sign with the Padres. League sources said Alvarez was originally committed to the Padres, but like some other prominent prospects, he pursued other opportunities while teams tried to figure out the international budgets for Rookie Sasaki. It's not a final, you know, last nail in the coffin, but it would seem that it would indicate that the Padres know that money now needs to be allocated elsewhere because it is not going to Rookie Sasaki. I wish I had better news, but this is how I am reading this situation, and I'm not sure that there's a lot of other ways that you can read this situation unless they are wrong or someone changes their mind in the last minute, which is obviously always in the realm of possibility. This is a really bad sign for the Rookie Sasaki sweepstakes.
Yeah, no question. At least for the San Diego Padres. That means the Dodgers and Blue Jays are still in it. I think our only hope is that he decides to sign with the Blue Jays.
Toronto is a beautiful country.
It's gorgeous.
I've heard nothing but good things
about
Toronto.
It is gorgeous.
And the entire country of Canada.
Nice people. You know, the whole thing, maple syrup, all of it. It's great. My gut has been, and, you know, it hasn't really changed. My gut has been he was going to be a Los Angeles Dodger. Said it over and over and over. Certainly doesn't, it doesn't lessen the blow. I feel like I have to get it out of my system and just get it out. But I can't say, I can't do it on the air, you know?
Should we turn our mics off?
Yeah, turn the mic. Let me just get one out. Let me just get a good one out. Ready? That might have cut
it
through.
It may have been loud enough.
It was ringing.
Microphones off. It could have been heard outside of the building.
I had to get that out. I feel better. I feel a little better. Yeah, I mean, look. There's no sugarcoating this. There's no bright-siding this. This is second prize set of steak knives. I mean, that's what this is. First prize, Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize, set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. Actually, we just won third prize. We're fired. So there's no sugarcoating.
Maybe Roki's doing the Shohei thing and saying, hey, I don't want you to not sign all the other guys. I'll take the minimum.
The minimum.
You can defer my money. I want you to bring as many good players in with me as possible. But
you're a sweet kid.
That doesn't seem that would be the case in
Why
this
didn't
situation.
This happened at like 9:50 instead of 6. Like I have I have so much good stuff to do today.
All we do is bitch for years.
We bitch
about news breaking right after our show.
I just want good news.
We want the bad news to break after the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not 5 minutes before.
Now I'm ready. I'm ready and equipped for all of your overreactions, and I have them too. So we can get into the overreactions. The overreactions, I've already seen it. All right, just bang it. Trade Cease, trade Arise, trade King, anybody that can get you value, and let's just retool. You know, I hate it. I hate it. I don't want that to happen. But I see your point. I'm not going to say you're an idiot and you're crazy. It really feels like all of the energy and time was expended to get Roki Sasaki, and we did not close him. So, yeah, it's a bummer.
It would also probably be premature to start laying blame on A.J. Preller or even the ownership drama. We have no idea at this point what Roki Sasaki's thought process is and, you know, why he's making the decisions he is. Maybe he will shed some light on that. Maybe he will not.
Maybe we'll never know.
We may never know exactly, you know, what was the deciding factor depending on what he ends up saying. But it would be premature to then, you know, just start throwing everyone under the bus at this point. It was always a heated competition. Every team was interested in Roki Sasaki. The Padres, I would say, dedicated more of their resources to this than anyone. And just like with Shohei Ohtani, as hard as they tried, it does feel like they ended up in second place for Shohei Ohtani. And
set of steak knives.
Perhaps they ended up in second place for Roki Sasaki.
Set of steak knives. We have a lot of steak knives. If we had some in the studio, I would probably use them to slit my own throat right now because I'm so bummed and mad. But, yeah, I mean, these are legit sources. Obviously, we'll keep you guys updated as we hear or see anything. But, you know, I can't brightside it. It's a bummer. It's a loss. It's a kick in the nuts. There's no question. I can't come in here in good conscience and be like, "Well, we still got a chance." You know that he's not Superman by any stretch. He can only pitch every sixth day, but it certainly takes some juice out of the offseason right now. And a lot of guys are off the board. There's still some guys left. You mentioned yesterday, but I don't know if we have any money to sign them. I have no idea. I mean,
it'll be interesting to see if and how the Padres respond, to this bad news, because this, we talked about it yesterday. This was the one way you could still feel like,
yeah, this was
you could still have a winning offseason.
I said it yesterday when I was doing my streaming project with my buddy Jake and John Howard over at Channel 8. I said, saves the offseason. I mean, he really does. Like, you get Roki Sasaki, that's a dub. I saw a recent grade for the Padres offseason so far was an F. Of course it is. It's an F. Of course it's an F. They haven't done anything.
It's a zero.
What's worse is an incomplete worse than an F. Yeah. They haven't done anything.
Right, right. But it's but if you got Roki, no, it's definitely a B+ if you had gotten Roki Sasaki. And now you're really going to have to figure it out. And I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to pivot to. I'm look, there's a part of me as a human being that's I'm kind of bummed for AJ. I know how much, if this is in fact true, again, it's just at this point just reported. But yeah, I know he put a lot of time and effort into this, but you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
And again, just to kind of explain how this works, I'm sure that this is not coming from inside the Padres organization or inside the Roki Sasaki camp, but the Padres have obviously been in contact with the families of these prospects, some of them for years in advance of the international window. And in recent weeks, they've said, hey, you know, we're going to have to wait on Roki Sasaki's decision. If he doesn't sign, obviously we'll move quickly and we would like to bring you into the organization. And it sounds as though that they have made plans. They got to, you know, they got to bring him somewhere to sign a contract, make plans for that. And what I read this as, families have been told, hey, we got a meeting later today. You're going to come in. You're going to sign your contract. You know, everything is as we had planned it before. And the families are then telling reporters like Francis Romero, hey, we just got the news. We are going to sign today. It's great news for these kids. Great news for these, you know, Dominican Caribbean prospects who have been waiting and dreaming on this for their whole life. And they're joining the Padres, and this should be a celebratory day for them.
Yeah, it's tough for them, man.
But, you know, for us, it's viewed as a major gut punch and a crush of our hopes and dreams for Roki Sasaki. But they're just celebrating good news that they got today, and they're sharing it, obviously, probably with friends and family, and it's getting to a couple of reporters. But as again, you read, the only way to really read that is that the Padres are moving on from their pursuit of Roki Sasaki because they've been told
you're out,
that they are not going to be signing him.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. I'm my heart breaks a little bit. There's no question. It's not how you want to start your Friday. It's not how you want to look at this offseason right now, and there's just no way to sugarcoat it. I can't do it. I can't look at myself in the mirror and be like, hey, we still got these guys. And yeah, absolutely. You still have those guys. But, you know, especially if he ends up in LA, I mean, it's like, it's funny. What are they going to, they're going to go from 112 wins to 117 now? Like, it's just, it's the rich getting richer. Even though this wasn't a money whip situation, whatever they presented, and we've been talking about it all week, their presentation is a very strong one. Without even knowing what it is, I can tell you one thing. It's a very strong presentation.
All right. We will follow this and any developments, obviously, over the course of the day here on 97.3 The Fan. Can we do something fun when
no,
we come back, though?
I don't think so.
Can I hear
so.
About your...
No.
Your TV appearance yesterday, at least, at,
no.
With Jake and how
no.
that went. And
no.
You talked about it yesterday. You're just gonna sit there and sulk for the next 3 hours and 47 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. But listen, you know what? When life hands you lemons, you try to make lemonade. Go YOLO it up this weekend. Go out to Sedano Ford. See my friend Manny Sedano, all right? Because their New Year's deals have been extended. Every 24 model must go. That's how it works, right? You got the 24s. You got to make room for the 25s. Great time to buy a car. I love the Ford brand. My grandfather worked there 40 years. As a proud veteran, Manny Sedano understands value. That's why I always recommend Sedano Ford. Right off the 8 in La Mesa, the deals are unbeatable. Listen to this lineup. Get the all-electric 24 Mustang Mach-E Select, just $89 a month. $89. Ready for an adventure? Jump into the 2024 Bronco Sport Big Ben, just $239. Step up to the 4x4 for just $50 more a month. Legendary power exists in the revolutionary F-150 Lightning. That's yours for just $199 a month. Inventory is moving fast at those prices, so the time is now. Your veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Go in today. Let them know Woodsy sent you. The deals won't last. On approved credit, visit SedanoFord.com for more details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to say we've put the bad news in the rearview mirror and we're all ready to move on in a positive fashion toward the weekend. But I don't think it's going to, I don't think that process is going to move quite so quickly for Padres fans.
I can feel it like marinating in my belly right now, you know, like just that marinating feeling. It's just sitting there like, you know, and you'll go through all of the different stages, and then you'll get to a point where you're like, we don't need that guy. Like, it happens. That's what happens when you get your hopes up, or even when you're semi-realistic about it. And, bro, if you're up against the Dodgers with a player, you have to know there's a really good chance you're not going to be the one that he picks. You have to.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that as well. I put a lot of hopes in this one. This, for me, this was always going to be my...
This is like, your white whale, dude.
Oh, man.
This is the one.
You know, for I've been looking for a couple of years. Like, if they could somehow land Roky Sasaki...
It's your Moby Dick.
Six years of control for a... Just all upside, no downside. And even if he doesn't pan out to be the huge star... You didn't give up hundreds of millions of dollars to sign him. There's no opportunity cost here.
You gave Woosuck Go more money than this guy was going to get. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're a 620 alarm and you're just waking up, the reporting is that the Padres are out in the Roky Sasaki sweepstakes. No winner declared yet. But Francis Romero from the Baseball Writers Association of America says the Padres are going to pivot, move on to some international signings in the next few hours. MLB Network has picked up on that. They are now talking about it. Saw John Morosi on the TV talking about the Padres being out based on this same reporting. And there really isn't a lot of wiggle room here. You know, I brought it up as well. You know, is it possible Roky Sasaki is just taking half of the bonus pool and like $3 million and the Padres are saying, hey, we got a little leftover extra, let's get these other guys signed? I guess anything is certainly possible. I don't know why Joel Wolf and his agent would say, yeah, no, we'll just give up $3 million when we don't have to.
That's crazy
talk, clearly, man. Other teams would have been prepared to give the whole bonus pool, so it would seem odd. But then again, Shohei Ohtani gave up a lot of lot of money to defer and bring other players in. So it's, I guess it's not unprecedented, and nothing has been officially announced from the Padres or Roky Sasaki's camp at this point. But, it definitely feels like the Padres are pivoting to the other guys that they've been scouting for years, the 16-year-olds, and, they're going to bring in a class. I'm sure that AJ Preller is going to at some point talk highly about some of these guys that they signed, but it's always going to carry with that the tinge of why you have these guys, and it's because you didn't close the deal with Roky Sasaki.
Yeah, I mean, when these guys make the big leagues, Bo will be in high school. So, I mean, that's about right. Yeah, 16 years old, he's going to be 7 in a couple of weeks, right? So he'll be in high school when we see these guys. And I think Padres fans are tired of waiting. You know, they're tired of waiting, realizing last year was such a great shot. And not going out right now and saying, hey, man, look at all those games we won last year. Look how friggin' close we got. And then the offseason comes, and you've added Tyler Wade and Martin Maldonado yesterday. That's some news that broke yesterday. They added Martin Maldonado on a minor league deal, non-roster invite, yeah? I don't expect much from him. He is...
Offensively, why would you say that?
He's
because he hit 118 last year and is a 200 career hitter,
and then hit like 140 in the Dominican League, like in winter ball.
I mean, you know,
bro. I mean, it's you're not bringing him. I don't. If he's also not good defensively anymore, he was. There was a time when he was really, really good.
If he can impart some wisdom to Ethan Salas,
yeah, he's a mentor.
Then maybe
done in a text message? Without having to sign him?
It's a minor league deal.
Because nobody else is going to sign him. Can you write Ethan an email imparting some wisdom?
You want him there at spring training. You have him there. You know, he has a locker. He gets to sit there for hours. Yeah, I get that. But
signing Martin Maldonado and not getting Roky all within 12 hours?
Martin Maldonado was the primary catcher for a World Series winner 2 years ago.
3 years ago.
Two and a half. Yeah, 2022.
Yeah, so what?
Houston Astros.
His fan base, they wanted him gone so bad because he literally could not hit. He's top or bottom. What would you call this? The top three worst players in baseball or
bottom three player
in baseball? I don't know how to word it, but that's what he is. And that's what you got right now to help mentor Campy. Which is fine. That's fine. And Brett Sullivan and
Ethan Salas.
Yeah.
I had a buddy text me last night. He goes, oh, really? He's not a Padres fan.
Yeah.
And I go, let's just say I hope he doesn't get a whole lot of action for the Padres.
He's getting ABs.
It's just a mentorship type thing.
Honestly, if it was Elias Diaz yesterday, I would be like, oh, cool. Right on. Hell yeah.
I would think, I mean, he'll never say it, but I would think AJ Preller is also hoping Martin Maldonado doesn't see a lot of action with the Padres this year. That's not a good sign. He wants Luis Camposano to have, you know, a breakout type season, and for Ethan Salas to continue to develop and get to the big leagues by the end of the year. That's the plan at catcher right now for the San Diego Padres.
Okay.
It's really the only plan, unfortunately, at catcher for the Padres. It just puts a lot of hope in a guy in Camposano who's been inconsistent at best at the big leagues and defensively, you know, has not been up to snuff at this point. And, you know, it accelerates very quickly the timeline on Ethan Salas, and we have no idea what his actual timeline to be ready to play in Major League Baseball is going to be. But
Our boy Fan in the chat, he's going the other way, and I like it. It's refreshing. He said, everyone's acting like Roky's Jacob DeGrom. Our core will smack him around. They very well may. There's no guarantee that Roky's going to be anything. Yeah, I mean, look, it's just the fact that if Yamamoto
was more of a bust, I'd feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that's the most recent star pitcher out of Japan over to the American.
The problem is if he ends up in L.A., you're like, oh, cool, so you guys finally caught a break with a guy 6 years for, you know, $7 million or whatever.
And then in 6 years, they'll give him $1 billion and defer
90% of it. So, listen, this is our lot in life right now. It's not ideal.
I do see some... Hey, you know, the Padres' lack of spending could have hurt. You can't You can't say that. I mean, the Mets were one of the first teams out in Roky Sasaki. They spend freely.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be on the East Coast.
Well, we don't know his motivations exactly.
Well, he didn't want to be in a giant market, allegedly. Where'd he go? Well, he hasn't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah,
he hasn't gone anywhere yet.
You know, you can't really take anything Joel Wolf said totally seriously.
If he goes to L.A.
Well, or if he goes to Toronto.
But it's Toronto, different media market. It's different.
Yes, but it's also East Coast. He said, I want to be closer to Japan. And you can't get farther from Japan in Major League Baseball than Toronto. So
it's also only, maybe one city, but the entire country of Canada are Blue Jays fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have the entire country of Japan as well. Like, that's going to be a media zoo.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Padres fans. I mean, look. We're here for you, you know. Don't scream at us. We didn't do it. We wanted him as badly as you did.
It is tough. I don't think a whole lot of the listening fan base right now knows a whole lot about Roky Sasaki.
Yeah.
We don't know a whole lot about Roky Sasaki. We can only go off of what we read
and what we were told.
What we hear. Guys like Adam Jones was like, oh, yeah, I saw him when I was playing over there. He's nasty.
Nasty.
But we don't know how that translates.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something a little cheerier. Dying.
Yes, death. That's a perfect segue.
I would think so. Let's lighten the mood and talk about dying. And you don't want to die intestate. That means when you die without making your wishes known with a will. And then the state has to decide your legacy. Many of us have put this off for way too long. But finally, you and I did something about it over our holiday break.
Exactly. Went to trustandwill.com and sat down and went through the process. And it was really, really simple. They walked you through it. I need somebody to kind of hold my hand through things like this. I don't understand a lot of things, you know, when they start talking about trusts and you know, the assets and who gets what and who watches your kids.
I still didn't understand a lot of this as well.
Yeah. So listen, don't be part of that statistic that 67% of Americans have not planned their estate after they pass away. 77% of parents without minor children don't have a will. That leaves the kids' future in the hands of the courts. That I do not want to happen with my children. So, listen, go to trustandwill.com, use the code word San Diego, and get 10% off plus free shipping of your estate plan documents.
Avoid the over $2 billion in annual probate fees that people pay. You can do this. 77% of parents don't have a will with minor children.
You can't defer those either.
You cannot. Again, go to trustandwill.com. Use the code San Diego, all one word at checkout, to get 10% off and estate plan documents at trustandwill.com. I feel like this is, we're in a dangerous time this morning. Padres fan base seems to be consuming each other. Just everyone is like sniping.
Everyone's in after bad everybody. Mood. Yeah, I get it. I do. I get it, man. We've spent a lot of time talking Padres baseball with you guys the last 7 years. Thank you for listening to us. We do have Dodger fans tuning in right now. I just got a text from my buddy who's a Dodger fan. He goes, could you guys do a funeral home read to maybe lighten the mood a little bit? Yeah, it stinks. You know, it's not confirmed where he's going, but I think we all have a pretty good idea of where Roky is headed. And it's
careful, Dodgers fans. You could still have the same disappointment in the next 24 hours.
I will say this. If he goes to Toronto, I'm coming right back after you, Dodger fans. I just deleted like 50 bookmarks. I will go re-add those bookmarks, and I'm coming back after you again, just so you know. If he goes to L.A., he's taking the path of least resistance. That's it. I mean, that's it goes against everything we heard about Roky Sasaki. I'm not trashing Roky. I would love to have him here. I'm excited to watch him pitch. That being said, it really flies in the face of everything we've heard about him. And, you know, I will not wish bad on any player. I do hope you get mobbed by the media, though, in L.A., because I know you will. I know you will. It's going to be a circus.
I always felt my biggest fear about Roky going to the Dodgers was not actually
The game.
Was the glitz and glamour of L.A. and the World Series titles and the rings and everything. I didn't get the sense that was what was going to motivate him. What worried me is that he looked at the depth the Dodgers had in terms of starting pitching and knew, you know, there's no chance they'd need to overuse him. There's no chance that, you know, he'd have to be forced to accelerate his timeline at all. That the Dodgers can absolutely, more than any other franchise, afford to be very patient with Roky Sasaki as he comes over.
No doubt.
And if that was important to him,
it's a good point.
The Dodgers were always his best landing spot. I was hoping that he sounded like a guy who maybe wants to get going really quickly, and you know, the Padres are probably the better spot for him in terms of, yeah, the rotation spot's waiting for you, we're ready to use you, let's get you going. But if that was something that was like he was hesitant about, the Dodgers offered a very easy path to, you know, slowly, you know, acclimate to Major League Baseball without having to make 30 starts this coming season.
You know, it's interesting. Mike is in the chat. Our buddy Mikey says there was going to be too much pressure on him here. I mean, look, when you're an L.A. Dodger, you have to win the World Series. Have to. Like, you'll be, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series again this year, they'll be mocked mercilessly by me and everyone I know, mercilessly, as they should. And so that is the ultimate pressure, is having to win the World Series. He did not have to win the World Series in year one in San Diego. He did have to go out and pitch every 6 day. They were going to throw him right into the rotation.
However, you know, any setbacks he has during the regular season with the Dodgers,
no, he's fine.
It's not going to hurt them. They're going to make the playoffs, almost certainly going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Now, if they get there and they start him in game five of the division series and he blows up and they lose, he is going, he is going to be in the crosshairs in Los Angeles. They have to win when they get to the playoffs, and there's going to be a lot of pressure in October if they're relying on him. But in the regular season, doesn't matter. He can lose a few games, and it's not going to hurt the Dodgers, you know, pursuit of getting to the postseason.
Yeah, Mike says, but he's buried in that rotation. He's not dependent on to be the ace, possibly in year one and definitely year two. But that's what he wanted. That's what he said he wanted. This, he wanted to blaze his own trail. He wanted to, you know, be the guy. He said he wanted to be the best there ever was. I can't imagine going, great, slot me in the sixth. What person that claims I want to be the best there ever was, bat me eighth. No, hit me three, hit me one, hit me four, start me one, start me two. The best to, I want to be the, he said, I want to be the best to ever do it. That doesn't scream to me, throw me in the sixth slot in the rotation, right? It says, give me a chance to go out and beat really good competition, you know, as the one or the two. And he wouldn't be the one this year, certainly, if Dylan Cease is hung on to, and Michael King, Roky would have been probably your third.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, ultimately, he will rise to his level of talent. If he is dominant, the Dodgers will happily, you know, throw him out there as often as he wants to go. If he's struggling, though, they're not going to be able to put him in their starting rotation. I do wonder what happens, especially, you know, assuming Clayton Kershaw comes back, if they actually stay healthy later in the season, and Roky is, let's say Roky does take, you know, a few months to acclimate and, you know, face big league hitters. Are the Dodgers going to keep pitching him if he's struggling a little bit when they have seven better options than him? Or do they send him to the minors? Do they put him in the bullpen? What do they do? Is that the best course for his development? That would have been my worry with Roky Sasaki, that the Dodgers don't really need to invest that much in him, because they have so many other options. And if it's not going well, they can just kind of cast him, you know, to the side and you know, wait on him to develop.
Yeah, JD says, if Roky pitches game one of the World Series, he'll be a legend. That's being great in that rotation. And then somebody said, I think he could be their one already. No, he's not. No. If Glasnow is healthy, if Snell is healthy, if Shohei's not pitching
right away,
yeah, man, he's their five.
And everyone has said about Roky, he's not a finished product yet. He's got a devastating splitter and a great fastball, but he needs a couple more pitches. Yeah. He needs some work to be a truly, you know, top two rotation guy in Major League Baseball. That was going to be true with the Padres as well. He was going to slot in as a four probably for the Padres this season.
The other thing, too, is, you know, people are like, well, you guys are acting like Roky was the savior. No. He's the savior for the off season because he doesn't cost a lot of money and you have many years of control. He's not going to come in and win every single game, right? He may not even be effective. You have no idea. That being said, he was the savior for the San Diego Padres off season. the Los Angeles Dodgers do not need him to save their offseason. When you say savior, it's because he's young, good, and controllable and cheap. That's it. And that's why you wanted to get this guy.
Few and far between.
And they're massively few and far between. This is Paul Skeens. It's Paul Skeens. Who comes out of college and is like, give me 6 weeks and let me go out and dominate the big leagues?
The real savior for the San Diego Padres was the guy who was last year's savior and will probably be the savior going forward. And that's Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, this is Jackson Merrill.
An everyday player who was a rookie of the year, top candidate. And if he can take another step forward, could be an MVP candidate in the next couple of years. I don't know if he's going to be on that path, but if he is, Jackson Merrill will be more valuable than Roky Sasaki.
Well, we have two of them. And we have Fernando, who is 26 years old, and we have Jackson Merrill. And that's a good start. But getting Roky and having Ethan come up and Leo come up, that's when you could get
really, really excited.
One
or both of those guys to live up to their potential as well. You know, this is just it lowers the margin for error for the San Diego Padres again. And the Padres were always playing with a much smaller margin for making mistakes. The Dodgers, they have a massive margin for error. Annie and Elston, they were talking about the payrolls yesterday. And even I had not thought about it in this perspective, but as they were going through the NL West payrolls, do you know that the difference between the Padres and the Dodgers is about three times more than the difference between the Padres and the Rockies? Like, the Padres are so much, the Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks are much closer in payroll to the Rockies than they are the Dodgers. The Dodgers are like $350 million.
Yeah.
Rockies are like $120. Padres are around $200. Giants and Diamondbacks are in that $170 to $190 range. There's four teams on one side in the NL West, and there's one team that's living in its own universe. And they can make mistakes like Trevor Bauer. They can make giant financial mistakes, and it doesn't hurt them one bit.
Not even a little.
Padres don't live in that world. This would have been a chance to have a guy that wasn't going to even be a possible mistake because you weren't investing a ton of money in him.
Yeah.
That was the great thing about Roky Sasaki.
If it didn't work, it didn't work.
He was 100% risk-free.
Yep.
You lose your international signing guys this year. And that was the only cost to Roky Sasaki, essentially, which is why it was such a great opportunity for the San Diego Padres and why it doesn't even matter to the Dodgers that they get him.
Well,
doesn't matter at all.
And it's going to be tough, man, because I don't want to be sold on these young prospects. Nothing against them at all. I'm happy for them. It's great that we have them. But that's a 10, 12 year ago something to get excited about, right? It has changed here. Expectations have changed. Season tickets are sold out. Fans want a winner. Fans deserve a winner. And when your offseason so far consists of Tyler Wade and Martin Maldonado, a bunch of minor league depth moves, which are fine. You absolutely need those. I'm not railing against those. But when that's all you do, you can't sell me on this 16-year-old from the Dominican Republic today in 2025.
Now, I do, to be fair, you can't really be mad until they actually start losing, can you?
Yes.
You can.
I can. I have the ability.
If they have a terrible offseason to go out and win 90 games and make the playoffs and make a run, then that's all that really matters.
I think what sucks is going into the season feeling like I did last year, going 81-81. Today, 81-81.
They didn't lose 12 WAR this offseason.
No, I know.
I mean, they didn't lose. They shouldn't drop back down.
I know.
In fact,
but we know how that works. We added a buttload of money and pieces in 23 and didn't make it. Padres fans are scarred and rightfully so. I totally, totally understand that, and I'm with you. I am absolutely one of you. I wish I could come in and say no, it's going to be fine. I can't. Again, had you made other moves? Had you made other moves to supplement the or to ease the pain of potentially losing Roky, having a 33% chance of getting him, I'd feel a little bit better. But we're fine. We ride.
It'll be interesting to see what the Padres do going forward. If they feel a little more pressure to be more active.
Eric said we actually lost nearly 12 WAR. So, yeah, that's
in Ha-Sung Kim.
Well, we've lost Profar for now.
Profar.
Ha-Sung Kim, Profar,
What pitchers did we lose?
I mean, Joe, if you're going to count Joe as losing the war, that's...
Yeah, it's probably around there.
Yeah.
Probably around 12.
I mean, for but one gotta, season, I, yeah, a little
you
under.
You still have to. You still have a chance to add... Oh, Tanner Scott, 4 war. Profar, 4 war. Higgy. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Higgy. Man, they really did.
I don't know what Solano's war was.
I asked them. It was 1. I asked them to shoot me in the forehead, and they did. Don't shoot me in the back. They shot me in the
we're
forehead.
We're going to check traffic. The Padres did actually make some international signings yesterday, but that wasn't a concern. I want to explain why this is different today to everyone. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
The Padres have slayed the dragon again.
Ah! Well, now we know who to blame.
Sure feels that way.
Adam.
I always blame Adam.
Always. I can't say anything.
So, again, if you're just joining us, the Padres are reportedly pivoting this morning to sign some of their international prospects, and that is a clear sign that they will not be signing Roki Sasaki because there is a fixed pool, and you can't have both. It's, you get one or the other. You get to sign your international prospects, or you get to sign Roki Sasaki. Now, yesterday, the Padres did sign a couple of prospects, and it panicked a lot of people in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes. A couple of guys from the Diablos Rojos of Mexico City, their youth program, Jose Verdugo and Aaron Castro. But those were reportedly $10,000 signings. Anything at $10,000 doesn't count against your international pool. You can sign as many of those guys as you want. So that actually had no impact. The guys reported today... Carlos Alvarez and Juan de la Cruz, those would be bigger money signings that would eat into your pool and thus take away the possibility of signing Roki Sasaki. And that was reporting from Francis Romero, covers Caribbean Baseball Prospects, Baseball Writers Association of America member. And that's why we're all feeling that the Padres are definitely out now in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes. But nothing has been officially announced by the team or by Roki's camp this morning.
Now, like Tuesday morning, the news from Monday was that the so and so, the Giants, the Mets, the whoever's have been told they are out of the Roki Sasaki running. We haven't gotten those reports yet, right?
Correct.
Jeff Passan has not tweeted out, hey, Roki has informed the Padres they are out. We are speculating.
Presumably. He has, or they wouldn't be pivoting to other players. Unless this is a pressure point on Roki, like, hey, you don't pick us today, we're going to start signing other people. It's up to you now. This is the ball in your court. I doubt they're doing
Yankees
the hard sell.
That, hey, the Yankees have decided to start signing international players. They are out on Roki Sasaki.
Well,
or was it just they're because, out?
Well, you couldn't sign anyone until the 15th, and this was all before the 15th. So that's what's different this week, and why that was always, I said on the 15th, hey, keep an eye out for international signings, because that'll be a clear indication of where you stand in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes.
I just zoned out.
It's all right.
And for like 30.
I've
just
done
pulled
it
a bend.
Twice
you have done
my
it.
Life.
I
think it's understandable.
I can
but...
honestly say I did not hear one word either of you said. I was lost in my own thoughts for a moment. I really was.
I feel like a lot of people out there are lost
go
in
Ohio
their,
State.
He did? I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Because we're not even talking college football.
Ricky said, to what end can you not be mad until they lose games? I don't understand it either, Ricky. I'm just mad. I hate being that fan, too. Sitting back, arms folded, going, all right, show me something. I don't like being that fan. I really don't, because I just love this game.
My point is that if they went out and had... A good season again.
Sure.
With the players that they have, which is absolutely possible.
It is possible.
I can construct a very realistic world. No slow
Nobody
start.
Wants
Mike,
to hear
Mike Schilt's back for the day. I'm just saying. I can construct a realistic world.
Sure.
Where Jackson Merrill takes another step forward. Tatis has a really good, healthy season. And they win, 90 games, go to the playoffs again. Won't you feel really dumb having spent the entire offseason being mad about the Padres?
I have no problem admitting I was wrong, especially about how good a team or bad a team. Zero.
I'm just saying.
I'm not your normal sports guy. I admit I'm wrong.
The way I see it is the Padres are putting themselves in a place where if they don't have a good year, then they have opened themselves up for the criticism of, well, what did you do to get better then?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do more?
Yeah, you should have done
more. And
that'll
be a very legitimate question.
But you can say that
later,
now.
Later.
You can absolutely...
You can ask the question now.
I'm just saying it.
You
like,
can, everybody
because of this
has.
Money that you were hoping to give to Roki, it had nothing... It had no impact on signing other players.
No.
And I remember like yelling at Ben because he said something like, they're going to wait and see what happens with Roki. I'm like, why?
Why?
Why not go get the guy, the positions that you need, have desperate areas of need, and go get Roki?
It is better to do nothing than make bad moves in an offseason. That is also
true. But
you
don't know if they're bad moves until
But if a ball's hitting the left field, nobody's there to catch it.
That's right. Mike Brousseau elimination on this show. Brousseau.
I am absolutely aware of the fact that if the Padres take a big step back in the win column this year, they have opened themselves up to huge questions and criticism from the fan base.
I love this. And this is why we are a show, Alex. He said, how can Ben be so relaxed? That's him. He is that way. Hold on. I got to go back a couple of weeks. And I wish I would have told Paulie to bookmark it. But you said, on the air, not off the air, you said, if we lose Roki to the Dodgers, I'm going to be devastated.
I'm gutted inside. I am.
Be gutted on the air.
But, I also live in a real world, and you've got to operate in what's going to happen. Back in 2023, when the Padres signed, huge offseason, and then had a terrible year, you weren't really that critical of A.J. Preller. Mm-mm. Or ownership because, they went out and did it. It was on the players.
It's a new year,
It was
man.
On the players. This year, it's going to be more on management if
yeah.
they have a bad year.
Big time.
That's where we stand right now. And so we're going to watch closely. All right, coming up in our second hour, we got Don't Do This.
We don't know.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, big Padres fan.
Huge Padres fan.
He's not happy this morning as well. He's going to join us at 7:35 to talk playoffs and more coming up on The Fan.